Good morning. Welcome to The Morning Mix, Friday, April 20th. This is Christy Dillaway, and I'm here with my guest co-host, Ryan Walsh. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, Christy. Never been happier to be back.
And it's a happy 420 for all of you. I heard a lot of theories on the radio this morning about what does that actually mean. You can make your own theories. But anyway, this is The Morning Mix. We present local live music and events in the Wasatch Back. Today's show, we're going to have our musical guest, Doyle's Hooligans. We got a studio full of musicians. We're going to have some awesome live music throughout the show. We're going to talk to Ken Sanders of Ken Sanders Rare Books in Salt Lake City about a speaker event that they're doing tonight featuring a book on Edward Abbey by Charles Bowden. And then about bottom of the hour, we'll do weekend events. We'll talk to Darren Piccoli. He's opening the Commonwealth Room, a new 700-person live music venue down in Salt Lake City. Then at the top of the hour, right before the end of the show, we will also talk to the Utah Museum of Natural History about their Navajo rug auction this weekend. Sound like a good show, Ryan?
I think it sounds great.
All right. Well, stay tuned. It's going to enjoy the ride. We'll be right back.
Additional funding for programming is funded in part by Park City Bike Demos, Kern's Showroom, next to Adolph's, Park City Day School, small community, big education, infinite possibilities, parkcitydayschool.org, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and listeners like you.
Hi, this is Whitney Ryan from Park City Mountain and proud supporter of KPCW. Park City Mountain's Epic Promise recently committed to a net zero footprint by 2030. The environment is our business. By 2030, we commit to zero net emissions, zero waste to the landfill, and a zero net operating impact to forests and habitat. More information at epicpromise.com.
Welcome back to The Morning Mix. Our musical guest this hour is Doyle's Hooligans. This is the second or third time they've been in the studio with us. Welcome back. Bob Smith, you want to take it from there?
Well, yes. It's nice to be here, Ryan, Christy. Thanks for having us again. It's always a pleasure to be up here. It's not as nice and sunny as the last time we were here with this nice big picture window we got on the west side.
We'll try to do better next time you're here. But
could you work on
that? What's
been
going on in the meantime?
Well, actually, you know, St. Paddy's Day just passed by, and so we had kind of a handful of gigs back a couple of weeks ago, playing downtown for the parade. The post parade, we played kind of a private get together for
those guys,
big shots up there, you know. And it was really cold and rainy. We were lucky. We were glad to be inside and out of the elements. You know, it was very Irish weather that day. And then we played up in Evanston a week after that. And everything's good. Everything's good for the Irish scene right now.
It seems to be burgeoning. Why don't you play us intro of your first
song? All right,
song?
Ross, you want to introduce some songs that we're doing? Now, Ross here is the actual, professional Irish man as far as we're concerned. he's our leader, so take it.
Yeah, I'm going to be the leader if you set the bar low enough.
Low enough,
and I get to be the leader. You know, we're going to put a couple of names to these tunes. The first one is Palmer's Gate. The second one is Ormond Sound. Not that they make any difference at all. The names are, I think they're chosen by a computer and totally at random. And it's want to know, this is very much like Irish weather today, cold, kind of damp. The only thing is we're playing Irish music in the morning. What's up with that?
Well, at least you brought some whiskey with you. Thank you.
As a matter of fact, I did, but you guys can't have that in the control room, can you?
This is radio.
All right, playing music.
You know, switching from one tune to another can sometimes be problematic because they all sound the same.
We ready?
Yep.
One, two, three, four. One. I got to remember how it starts.
Okay, this is live in the studio.
Thank you.
cook.
G'day, this is Ian from Campos Coffee, proud supporters of KPCW. Thank you for an incredible winter. We will be closed at the Park City Mountain Resort until summer. But never fear, we are opening our Salt Lake City Roastery and Kitchen in downtown Salt Lake City, using ethically sourced coffees and our full Australian-inspired cafe menu. More information at camposcoffee.com.
Support for KPCW comes from Squatters Roadhouse Grill and Pub, located in Park City since 2006. Serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week with on-site parking, kids menu, and Squatters and Wasatch beers. Squatters, good for what ails you. Squatters.com.
Welcome back to the Morning Mix. Well, we've been talking about the weather, and I know that it is totally mud season in Park City, which in my mind makes me think about going to the desert, and I'm sure plenty of people are with me on that. And I feel like if you're going to go to the desert, Edward Abbey is required reading. I always felt like Desert Solitaire was kind of your gateway to get down to the Moab and Arches area. I want to read a quick quote of Edward Abbey. He said, "Wilderness is not a luxury, but a necessity of the human spirit, and as vital to our lives as water and good bread. A civilization which destroys what little remains of the wild, the spare, the original, is cutting itself off from its origins and betraying the principle of civilization itself." In celebration of Edward Abbey's the 50th anniversary of the publishing of Desert Solitaire and this month's publishing of a book by Charles Bowden called The Red Caddy, Into the Unknown with Edward Abbey. There will be a reading tonight, or a publishing celebration, I guess, down at Ken Sanders Rare Books, and we are joined by Ken Sanders on the phone. Welcome, Ken.
Good morning, Christy.
Maybe you can explain the event a little better than I might have just done. Tell us what's going on tonight at the bookstore.
Well, since you started with an Edward Abbey quote, let me do a short one as well. Wilderness needs no defense, only more defenders.
Well said.
And another one of my favorites. My other favorite, Christy, is growth for the sake of growth is the ideology of the cancer cell. That seems particularly appropriate with what the feds and the state people are doing with our wilderness lands as we speak. I mean, destroying them, to be clear.
It sounds also, it kind of feels like the zeitgeist of Park City these days as well. So it's rather appropriate.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we're pulling off a for lack of a better word, a dead author event. Two dead authors. Edward Abbey has been gone for 29 years. His friend and mine, the late Charles Bowden, has been gone just over 3 years. They were both important voices in very, very different ways. They were good friends. They both lived in Tucson, and they went to lunch about once a week. And shortly after Abbey died, Chuck wrote a memoir about Ed Abbey called The Red Caddy. Chuck and I were going to publish it way back when, but it never happened. And now, after Chuck's death, the University of Texas Press has the rights to the entire Chuck Bowden backlist, and we'll be publishing The Red Caddy, which has just come out, and not eight other unpublished works of Chuck's, in addition to all of his plentiful backlist. So that will be a really, really good thing. So we wanted to, as you said, Christy, it's the 50th anniversary of Desert Solitaire. We wanted to celebrate both of these men that are no longer with us, so that the Red Caddy gave us an excuse to have a party. So we've got a pretty full evening. Investigative reporter Chad Nielsen, Trent Harris, the local filmmaker, Alex Caldiero, our sin officer, and Scott Carrier, currently, I guess, a podcaster and journalist, will all be joining us to talk about their own experiences with the late Charles Bowden. And from Colorado, Amy Irvine, the author of Trespass, is going to attempt to address both Chuck and Ed in a very lively essay that she has been writing. And the former NBC employee and filmmaker, documentary filmmaker, Ned Judge, is coming up from Albuquerque, and he's going to show his long-lost movie that hasn't been shown in probably 30 years that he filmed with Edward Abbey in a red convertible at Arches back in the 80s. And that film is called I Loved It, I Loved It All. And we're going to try and clear up the mystery of the Red Caddy. Chuck Bowden's book is about Ed Abbey's Red Caddy, but the red convertible in Ned Judge's film isn't a Cadillac at all, as it turns out. It's a Buick. So we're going to delve into the mysteries of the red convertible, among other mysteries.
Ken, you're going to fit all this into 2 hours? This is going to be it's going to be like a rock concert.
Well, I think our crew is pretty disciplined, other than myself. So I think they'll keep it on time. I tend to, you know, kind of go off the path and the beaten trail a lot. So I'm going to be the problem tonight, not any of our multiple guests. It's going to be a really fun time. I have not seen this film in, like I said, almost 30 years. It's some of the best video ever made of Ed Abbey. It's absolutely brilliant. It's satirical. It shows him, he's got this 10-gallon hat in his head and a foot-long cigar, and he's bumping it up the old entrance road, and he just plays his role to a T. He takes out this rusty old chair, and he parks the Buick and gets out and puts the chair down. And, oh, around here, that's it. Wait for tourists, if any. Of course, back in the 50s, there weren't many. Then he gets into the thing and just slams it up those switchbacks up to Balanced Rock from the current visitor center, driving like 90 miles an hour. Used to take me half a day to get out this far. Now, do it in 15 minutes. And it's absolutely hilarious. It's insightful. It shows all of Ed Abbey showing you his haunts in 1950s Arches Monument. It's really a brilliant film, and Ned Judge is a brilliant filmmaker.
This is kind of a cool event because the room is going to be full of people who had first-hand experience with this great larger-than-life character. This is not some kind of academic ivory tower sort of thing. You're meeting some of the genuine articles here, huh?
Yeah, it's going to be real. It's going to be very visceral, and you know, this isn't a worship session as much as Edward Abbey and to a lesser extent Charles Bowden were revered in their own lifetimes. You know, like all of us, they're human beings and they're flawed. And our writer friend Amy Irvine is really going to tackle that. She's writing a longer piece about Ed Abbey that will be published in the fall, Back of Beyond Books, and Moab is going to be doing a terrific 50th anniversary celebration, bringing people in from all over the place to talk and speak and publish things. It'll be a lot of fun, but Amy will really hit the nail on the head and take Ed full on controversial views he may have had regarding, women and race and the environment. Ed Abbey never wanted to be a naturalist. He hated being pegged as a naturalist. And he himself was never more happy than when both the conservatives and the liberals were mad at him.
Quite the instigator. So Ken, tell us, tell us the time and the location, and is there a cost?
No, almost all of our events are free and open to the public, though I would get here early. Ken Sanders Rare Books is located at 268 South, 200 East in downtown Salt Lake City, and the events will get going hopefully promptly at 7 p.m. tonight. Come early to get a seat.
And do you have any other events coming up that you want to tease out to the audience?
I never make plans that far in advance.
Well said,
Humphrey
well
Bogart
said.
Line from, to steal Humphrey Bogart's line from Casablanca. Undoubtedly, we have some, but I can't think of what they are. I usually delegate that to other people that work here, and I'm less and less know what the heck's going on at my own store.
All right, well, people can check the calendar. How about that?
Check the website, check the blog, check the, whatever we do, social media, you've heard of it, right?
I've heard of it.
I think we do it. I have 6,000 Facebook, acolytes, but I have a confession to make, Christy. I have never actually personally been on Facebook. So if you correspond with me on
Facebook. The fact that you called them acolytes was a hint that you do not use Facebook well.
That's not the term?
No.
That was the original term, but before they changed the name to Facebook.
Thank you so much for joining us, Ken, and thanks for telling us about the event tonight. And we'll get with you later in the fall to talk about Amy Irvine writing on Edward Abbey's that celebration.
Yeah, the Desert Solitaire and Back of Beyond. And let me say in parting, happy Earth Day, everyone.
Indeed.
Happy Earth Day. Thank you so much. Oh, let's go to the weather. All right, here's what's coming up for your Park City weekend. Today, it's rain and snow likely before 1 p.m. Then a chance of rain showers later in the afternoon, mostly cloudy with a high near 48. Tonight, a 40% chance of showers, mainly before 7 p.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 32. Tomorrow, sunny, yay, with a high near 56. Light and variable winds becoming west-northwest, 5 to 9 miles per hour in the afternoon. Saturday night, mostly clear with a low around 34. Well, we can start planting the flowers. Now, I'm joking, people. Don't start planting your flowers. Sunday, sunny with a high near 62. That sounds like a beautiful day. That's Earth Day, and I hope you will have lots of things to do to celebrate. Sunday night, just a 20% chance of showers after 1 a.m. So I think after we get through today's rain, we will be good to go. And if you're looking for what to do this weekend, it is time. It is time, Ryan, and I know you know it's time. Get your local sense of humor on at the Park City Follies. It opens tonight at Egyptian Theater. Probably sold out unless you're a Faro Club member. Or I would say try to go standby, just like at Sundance. You know, stand there with your finger in the air. See if anyone can get you in. This is the annual romp that joyfully makes fun of all of us, our passions and our foibles, local developments, boondoggles, misadventures. I know Ryan's in the show, and so is John Burdick, who's sitting here running our board today. The shows run Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then again next week from Tuesday through Sunday.
The Park City Film Series is showing Foxtrot tonight and tomorrow at 8 p.m. and Sunday at 6 at the Jim Santee Auditorium.
Tonight in Heber, there is a comic dress-up train on the Heber Valley Railroad. It's like a railroad Comic-Con, but that name is trademarked, so they can't call it that. So it's the comic dress-up train, and it departs at 7 p.m. for a two-hour trip. Tickets are $15.
What's up for live music entertainment this weekend? Motherlode Canyon Band is at the Cabin, and Donner Pass is at the Spur.
Tomorrow, it's Baby Animals Days in Heber Valley. You can bring the family out to see the baby farm animals at 920 River Road, take a hayride, and play farm games on the lawn. Come anytime between 11 a.m. and 4 p.m., and they said to be advised to wear appropriate footwear.
Indeed. PC Eats, which is Eat Awesome Things at School, is holding their fourth annual fundraiser, Fork in the Road. It's at Legacy Lodge at PCMR. There's lots of great food, local beverages, silent auction, and live music by Swagger. Get tickets at eatsparkcity.org.
Have you ever pondered running for office? If so, you might want to check out the Utah Democratic Party's candidate training program on Saturday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Park City Library. It's free, and it's for candidates and people who will be supporting their campaigns.
And Saturday night, live music, Brothers Brim are at the Cabin. I really like that band. We're just talking about that. And Los Hell Caminos are at the Spur, another great band at the Spur Saturday, and DJ Soulman is at Downstairs.
Sunday is Earth Day. Join the family-friendly events at Swanner Eco Preserve between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. There will be a preserve cleanup service project from 10 to 11:30 in partnership with Recycle Utah, a kids project to create a wetland ecosystem out of clay in collaboration with the Kimball Arts Center, and more. Check out the full schedule at swannerecocenter.org.
Recycle Utah hosts its annual Earth Day celebration at Wasatch Brew Pub from 5 to 8 p.m. Bring the family out. Tickets are $35 in advance and include the event, a burger bar, two drinks, and live music plus a silent auction.
The Shred Spring Thaw Party Sale and Barbecue is happening in the Iron Horse District on Sunday from 2 to 6 p.m. Olympian Ted and local Ted Ligety will be there, and so should you be. They're offering discounts on past season's gear up to 70% off, plus lawn games and barbecue food for purchase.
We have a concert announcement here. Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit just announced a show at the Eccles Theater in Salt Lake City on September 4th. Tickets go on sale at 10 a.m. today, right after the show ends.
And a reminder that if you're thinking of going to any of the concerts at this summer at Red Butte Garden, today is the last day to buy your garden membership. That allows you to buy your concert tickets ahead of the public sale. So garden members can buy pre-show tickets starting next Monday, April 23rd, and then the general public sale starts the following week on Monday, April 30th. Some of those bands, remember, are Jackson Browne, Michael Frante, Belinda Carlisle, the Abbott Brothers, Indigo Girls, Gypsy Kings. It's a huge, huge list.
Big season.
So you can check that out at redbutte.org.
Speaking of live music, we're going to talk today with talking with Darren Piccoli regarding the Commonwealth Room, a new venue that has just opened up down in Salt Lake City. And this venue has got a lot of just big lineup. These are the Chris Motz and Darren Piccoli are the guys who opened the State Room. And with the success of that, they're moving on to another space. And just want to give you some highlights of events that are coming up that they have scheduled. They've got the Young Dubliners coming to town, Junior Brown, Carl Denson's Tiny Universe, always wildly popular here in Utah. The Punch Brothers are coming. Josh Ritter, another wildly popular band, and also Graham Nash. That's all the way out to September they have events scheduled.
I believe we've got Darren on the phone now. Darren, are you with us?
You do. How you doing, Christy, this morning?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us. And what a, boy, the press is out there. I'm glad that we're part of it. Opening this new 700-person venue down in downtown Salt Lake called the Commonwealth Room. Tell us about it and tell us how you decided you needed another music venue.
Yeah, that could be debatable in my world. But we just announced and we will be going on sale today at 12 o'clock to the public. The Commonwealth Room is located just on the north side of South Salt Lake City, right off of the 21 Central Point track station. It's on 2100 South and about 200 West, and used to be the old rock church. It's got a great layout, very reminiscent of the State Room. So it has a separation wall, we call it. So you kind of take care of your needs on the front side, box office, coat check, bathrooms, bar, and then you walk through a couple doors to the performance area.
So at the State Room, you have, I was going to call it bleacher seating, but it's nice,
like
much
a
nicer.
Raised seating area, yeah.
And the first time I went in there, I thought, oh my God, who wants to sit down? But people do sit down at music. I don't. Is it something similar going to be at the Commonwealth Room?
That is still a work in progress. There will be some seating with the, obviously, the nature of the larger room. It would have to be a, it would be really difficult to seat 700, but we are currently working on some reserved and general admission seating options. For example, the Graham Nash show will be probably about 60% seated. So you'll be able to purchase reserved seats for that. And then there'll be additional highboy tables and options, but there won't be as much regular seating as the stateroom, but they'll still be seating.
And I wanted, I just noticed Marcus King Band. Ooh, I'm excited about them. They've been, yeah, they've been definitely climbing the charts pretty quickly, and he's super young, but this is a very, a varied, lineup. And how do you go about picking the bands that play at the different venues?
Well, you know, the thought process for Chris and I, when we started envisioning a new venue was, we really try to build everything off of artist and patron cultivation. And over the last few years, we've certainly seen a lot of artists grow larger than what we can provide for them, whether it's Lucas Nelson or Marcus King Band, or James Mercer even. I mean, he had a big hiatus after the Zephyr closed, and you know, we were able to kind of get him back into the market, feel comfortable. And so the cultivation has been really important for us. So on this list, you'll see, if you've been a regular patron of the stateroom, you'll see a lot of these bands that have played there. And this new venue affords the patrons the opportunity of a very similar experience, seeing the artists that they, in essence, you know, built up in this community on their own.
So your door is open May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, right?
Mm-hmm. And
are you guys hanging lights and speakers even today? Are you guys getting pretty good? Are you painting the walls black right now?
You know, we might actually be painting some black walls today. We are definitely going to be working until May 5th. So, you know, it's hard because you have to just pick a date at some point and then almost work backwards from there. But we have a great crew in there. We have a lot of people that are coming to bat to help us. We have a lot of great local vendors that are supporting us. So it'll be fun. It'll be really great. We have 2 weeks, which I feel like at this point is a good enough amount of time.
Well, opening night, we said, is May 5th, and it is a free event. And the band that night is Sepiatronic. I wonder if it's a free event, so you hand everyone a paintbrush or something to carry on their way in.
Everybody gets a broom and a trash bag.
Yeah,
no.
Right.
Sepiatronic is a really cool, like, almost like a March 4th meets Beats Antique kind of sound.
Ooh.
It's actually a few members from March 4th.
And, we caught our ears.
Yeah, I think it's a really cool opportunity for a first night. We wanted to do something free to just give everybody a chance to come on in. So the first paid show is the Young Dubliners on that Saturday, which is going to be really fun. They actually haven't been in the market in over a year. But yeah, for the free event, you can, if you know anybody related to the stateroom, you can certainly pick up a ticket from them. We're also going to have some sort of registration online when we go on sale for all the shows at noon today.
I was just going to say that. Or if you, what is it, if you're on the stateroom's email list, maybe there's a promo code?
Yes.
At 10 a.m.
At 10 a.m., there is a promo code for the stateroom as well.
This is going to be an over 21 venue with a bar, I imagine?
There is a good-sized bar in the lobby area. It will mostly be over 21, but I believe we have some opportunities for private events and various opportunities like that to have under 21 and over 21.
Well, perfect. Well, we look forward to a new music venue and all the music that you guys keep bringing into our area, because it's keeping us vibrant, keeping us dancing.
There were a lot of nods
in the studio when you said Young Dubliners. We've got Doyle's Hooligans in the studio, and pretty much all around the room, everyone was like, oh, yeah, yeah. So. Yeah,
they're really excited to kick it off. And I mean, we have Reckless Kelly before that, so we're definitely opening with a bang here. So it's going to be really fun to get it going.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye out for that. Thank you so much. And is the website up?
Yeah, the website is up at thecommonwealthroom.com. All our social media is out there. That's all at Commonwealth SLC.
Okay.
And I'm looking at the website now. The full list is up there. There is a link to the ticket page and all of our social links, as well as email and address and phone number.
All right. Well, we'll see you on the dance floor. Thanks so much, Darren. We'll talk to you again another time.
Bye-bye.
Let's turn it back to our musical guests who are so nicely, patiently waiting with their instruments at the ready. We've got Doyle's Hooligans in the studio. Let me introduce them real quick. We've got Mary Finch on fiddle, Ross Faison on banjo, Mike Bennett on whistles, and Bob Smith on bodhran. Did I say bodhran right? Bodhran.
Close enough, Christy. Close enough.
It's just such an interesting instrument with your hand inside the drum. All right, what are you going to play for us now?
We got something from, these kind of tunes don't get played very often in the Irish tradition. It mostly comes from the music hall era. I think in this country we would have called it vaudeville. But it's a really neat kind of thing, kind of a sound. You can get Irish traditional music, Irish rock music, Irish punk music. There's a lot of different things, but personally I just think this stuff is just so much fun to play. Are we ready?
Began to gather in the thunder, it did roar. Barney McShane came down the lane, and just as he was passing by the widow Nolan's door, what do you think? It began to pour. She was sitting by the window when she saw him passing by, thinking it was a leap year. She let out a mighty cry. She wrapped a shawl around her and she ran down to the gate, saying, Barney, darling, won't you wait? Or I'll come in out of the rain, Barney McShane. Well, wait until the sun comes out again, and sure, a cup of tea I'll brew, just enough for me and you. We'll snuggle up together and we'll talk about the weather, Barney dear. There's a queer sort of a feeling round me heart that gives me pain, just to think the likes of me could learn to love the likes of ye. Here I come in out of the rain, Barney McShane. If it started raining pitchforks, Barney answered with a grin, out in the rain I'd remain. Taking a chance on matrimony, I am starting to begin. Blarney away, but I won't come in. Now, Barney dear, she said the tea I told you that I'd brew, it's not the tea from China, it's a grand old Mountain Dew. And as he jumped the fence, he said, it's cold out in the rain. Would the darling say the words to me again? Or I'll come in out of the rain, Barney McShane. Well, wait until the sun comes out again, and sure, a cup of tea I'll brew, just enough for me and you. We'll snuggle up together and we'll talk about the weather, Barney dear. There's a queer sort of a feeling round me heart that gives me pain, just to think the likes of me could learn to love the likes of ye. I come in out of the rain, Barney McShane. Thank you.
So Ross, let me ask you, with the current reference in there to Mountain Dew, obviously this is not an old traditional song that you found in the old books somewhere, but how do you pick music and how do you find, you know, is it written down for bands such as yourself?
Well, originally, this is music that people played on their porches and in church basements. They played them in their kitchens. And they shared tunes with this around as they traveled. There are literally thousands of tunes in the tradition. And then they invented YouTube. So what happened was the kitchen and the church basement and the porches just got a lot bigger. And if you follow threads, you just find these kinds of things. And this one I just picked up by accident while looking at YouTube videos.
YouTube has changed a lot of things.
Oh, yeah.
And for all of you that, if you can reach a microphone, what made you want to be in an Irish music band? I mean, I feel like there must be, are you all Irish? Is there some desire, like, I'm going to play the tin whistle? What band can I be in?
Well, my background, this is Mike, I'm the tin whistle guy, and my background is actually in jazz. I'm from New Orleans, and that's what I grew up in, some Dixielands and blues, and then some just hardcore jazz stuff. I thought, because my family, I don't know how much of this I can get on.
You're struggling to not say things.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so my father was Cajun and my mom was Southern, all right? And in the South, the Cajuns are called, and this is vernacular, Cunas. And so my mom being Southern and my dad being Cajun, I was always called a half-ass. So, I don't know what can be said here, but so my jazz tradition is one thing. Yeah, exactly. It's on the air. But my jazz tradition is one thing, but my mom's family are from Southern Alabama, and that's for generation upon generation. And they've been doing what I consider the Irish tradition for many, many years. And then recently through Ancestry and all those DNA things, I found that it's actually, I don't have any Irish in me. It's Scottish anyway. So, but it appealed to me for many, many years. And that's how I got into picking up flutes and those kinds of things. Anyway, sorry.
All right. So that's a varied route.
Yeah.
How about you, Bob? Or Mary?
Oh, Bob here. Yes. I can't really say pinpoint exactly why I play the Irish music, but I can say why I still play the Irish music, other than hanging around these fine blokes here.
It's hooligans.
I love the instrument. It's like a lot of fun to play this drum. I can, like, my hands are all over it. It's very organic.
It's easy to pack.
It's really fun to play.
Bob, are you going to tell us what the real name of that instrument is?
It's a drum.
Can you say it on air?
No, actually, the real name of the instrument is Raven. I've named it Raven, and it's a bow run. And, if you want to Google it, good luck spelling it.
Exactly. How about Mary? How did you come into being in an Irish band?
Well, I've been playing various types of fiddle music for a long time, and just kind of fell in love with Irish music, and I've been to Ireland a couple times, and just that's what I want to play.
Did you bring your fiddle when you went to Ireland?
Of course.
Of course. All right. We're going to go to an underwriter, and when we come back, we will have folks from the Utah Museum of Natural History talking about the Navajo rug auction going on this weekend. Stay tuned.
This is Dr. Phil Davidson of Davidson Orthopedics and KPCW supporter, providing knee and shoulder care focused on cartilage restoration and joint resurfacing. We are now incorporating stem cell therapy and regenerative orthopedics. More information on our website at davidsonorthopedics.com.
This is Beth, owner of Peak Art and Frame, local sponsors of Cool Science Radio on KPCW. Locally owned and operated, Peak Art and Frame offers local artwork as well as digital printing, custom framework, and mirrors. Open Monday through Saturday and located in the Walmart Shopping Center, 649-0801 or peakartandframe.com.
tomorrow, April 21st, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Natural History Museum of Utah at the Rio Tinto Center, you can find the Navajo Rug Auction, silent auction, and buy it now event going on. And you can bring your own rug there for evaluation. So in the studio right now, we have Antonia Clark from Toe Atten Gallery. I hope I said that right. She's coming from Colorado. And Suzanne Rollman, who is from the Natural History Museum. So welcome, ladies.
Thank you for having us.
We're happy to be here.
Why don't you describe the event a little better than I just did?
Well, I'll start. I'm the museum store manager at the Natural History Museum of Utah, and we partner with Toe Atten Gallery from Durango, Colorado, to put on this show and sale. I've just found out we're going to have 300 rugs there tomorrow, which is phenomenal, each unique to the next. It is a show and sale. It's a silent auction, but every rug also has a buy it now price. Jackson Clark, Antonia's brother, will be doing rug evaluations and restoration advice for people who want to bring in their own rugs from 10 till noon. And then at 2 o'clock, he's doing a walking tour through the auction to talk about the specific rugs that are in the auction. So anybody who's there can follow him around and listen to him talk about the rugs. We're also going to have a Navajo weaver there all day, so you can watch someone weaving a rug, which will be fabulous. And a jewelry trunk show of Native American jewelry there. So a big day for us, and really exciting to have that many rugs there for people to see in one spot.
Well, I would just say, it's a great opportunity for people to see an exhibit like that, even if they don't have any intention of buying something, to come up and see that many weavings and be able to talk to people who buy directly from the weavers and know the weavers themselves and can learn about, you know, so much about Navajo weaving and the Navajo way of life. And then, you know, the option to buy it now has become really popular. Initially, we started this show. When I was in college at the University of Utah, we started doing a show on the circle down there with the Museum of Natural History, with Donald Haig was the director at that time, and it was always a silent auction option. We didn't have a buy it now option, but that's the buy it now option is really a popular one, and the best thing about that is. What we do is we buy weavings directly from the weavers, and we buy them all year long. And so because winter is a slow time for us at our retail gallery in Durango, we don't sell a lot of weavings in the winter time. But we want to, every time a weaver that we typically work with comes in the door, we want to be able to buy that rug because we want to encourage them to continue to weave. And so at this time of year, we have a lot of rugs and not a lot of cash. And this gives us an opportunity to come up here and sell our rugs at just above our cost through the museum. The museum gets a portion of the sale. They raise money. We get cash so that the next time weavers come in the door in the springtime and through the summer, we have the money to buy from them. So the prices are basically, the minimum bid is basically is a wholesale price. And if somebody wants to just walk in the door and buy a rug, they can pay 20% above that minimum bid, which is 20% above wholesale, and just walk out the door.
You know, every month here, and you probably do it in Salt Lake too, we have the Last Friday Gallery Stroll. And when my son was younger, some other moms and I, we would get together and bring the kids and stroll Main Street. And it was, you know, adult conversation, and the kids could run around. And it was a free way of seeing local art. And so I like the idea also, if maybe you're not in the market to buy a rug, but you can still come to the museum and see 300 excellent objects of art that are perhaps a dying form of art.
We hope not. I mean, that's part of why, but it's certainly a diminishing form of art. There's 350,000 Navajos. It's the largest tribe in America, and at one time, I would say probably 50% of the women in that tribe were weavers. Now I would say maybe 5% of the women in the Navajo tribe are weavers, and most of them are 70 years old or older. So another thing we have is young weavers. We have a number of weavings that are created by women in their 30s, which is really important but really unusual.
And the 2 o'clock walkthrough tour that your brother's going to do, like what would I learn in the walkthrough tour? Like what the symbolism is or the colors or what? Tell us.
Yeah, a little bit of all that. He would he'll talk a little bit about the history of the Navajo so that people have an understanding of how they've evolved, you know, and how the weavings have evolved. And he'll have some wonderful examples of older weavings that are 120 years old up to modern day weavings. He'll talk about the different designs and how those evolved, and about, and then he'll tell some personal stories, which people love the most, about those particular weavers and what inspires them and what they do on day-to-day life.
So if what somebody points to any given rug, do you, can you remember those weavers, or you know them well enough to be like, oh yeah,
Pretty much.
Oh,
yeah.
That's great. So a real personal connection.
The other thing that we're doing is we're bringing some rugs that are from that have been on consignment, that are older pieces that people have given to us on consignment, and a lot of those were woven in the 50s and 60s, and unfortunately people don't know who wove them. But it's kind of a new part of what we're doing, having some of these older historic pieces, which people really love.
And so this is not, to come to the rug show, the sale is not inside the museum, or it's in the museum, but it's a separate entry.
It's in the large public area we call the Canyon, which is a free area. So this show is free to the public. You don't have to buy a ticket to the museum to see all these beautiful rugs, but we hope that they inspire you to buy a ticket and see
while
the rest
there.
Of the museum. because we've got a couple great exhibits on Native American culture in the museum, so I think it's a nice tie-in. And it's a beautiful location. This is a gorgeous backdrop to this rug show up there at the edge of the mountains.
And we do have 6 pairs of tickets that you have brought to give away.
Yes.
So people can call our call Ethel at 649-9004, and you can get a pair of tickets to go to the museum after you've gone to the rug show.
That's correct.
Right. All right. So hopefully people can call in and get those.
And we brought in a few examples of rugs, and the contemporary rugs will, most all of them will have a label like this that has a picture of the weaver holding the rug, their name and information on the back. So it kind of gives you a nice personal connection to the piece that you may connect with. And I promise you, if you walk through these rugs, you will find one that will speak to you and you'll fall in love with. Guaranteed.
Well, thank you so much for coming in the studio and for bringing the visuals that we're enjoying here. And anyone who wants to see the rugs, go down to the Utah Museum of Natural History. It's down at the Rio Tinto
Center.
Mm-hmm. And what a beautiful building. And if you haven't been there yet, definitely spend the afternoon walking through all the exhibits. It's really it's very connecting, I feel like, to our environment. Do we have an underwriter we need to play? Let's go to an underwriter. We'll be right back with our musical guest, Doyle's Hooligans.
Additional funding for programming on KPCW has been provided in part by Long Reimer Weiniger Bepler, Estate Planning, Family Law, lrw-law.com, Fred Marshall Painting, painting Park City's home since 1974, fredmarshallpainting.com, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and listeners like you.
Welcome back to the Morning Mix here on Friday, April 20. We've got Doyle's Hooligans still in studio, and they're going to play another song for us. Do you guys have a regular session, like a weekly session that you play in, where people could come and just hear some traditional music?
There's one at the Republican down in Salt Lake City. It's a pub. Jason has been generous enough to give us the space to 2 nights a month on the 2nd and 4th Tuesday evenings. We start at about 7 and go till we get tired of playing.
How often does someone walk in the door who you don't really know and they surprise you because they've got songs in their quiver that they can play for you guys?
It happens. It doesn't happen very often because, unfortunately, this is just a very much underserved market. But it does happen, and it's a real treat when it does.
Do you bring on new regulars and some people sort of fade out, or is it kind of a solid crew that shows up?
Oh, there's been a core group since I've been playing with them for about the last 12 years. It's been pretty much a core group, but people have come and gone. They have lives.
Before you play your last song, I just want to thank our sponsors for keeping us on air for this show every week. That those sponsors are Campos Coffee, Squatters Roadhouse Grill and Wasatch Brew Pub, Utah Symphony and Utah Opera, Peak Art and Frame, San Francisco Design, Berkshire Hathaway Home Services Utah Properties, and Park City Mountain. And you can find us on Facebook at KPCW Morning Mix, email us at morningmix@kpcw.org, or listen to this show archived online at kpcw.org under the Shows tab. And why don't we take it away? Doyle's Hooligans, play us out. Listening to KPCW in Park City.